Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is a good, good night. I'm so glad that you all came out. For those of you that don't know me, I think pretty much everyone knows me here. But if you don't, I'm Pastor Jose. I'm the lead pastor here. And it is a pleasure to be here tonight and just worship with you. So some of you are probably wondering, where are we going? Where are we going? What's with the bags? What's that all about? We packing up? You kicking us out? You sending us somewhere? And tonight I want to just take you on a journey. A brief journey, but on a journey. And it's directly from God's word. How many of you know that God did not start what he did in you in Jesus to leave you where you are? You might not know that. You might just think life is just, this is what it is. You know, I go to school, I work, I raise kids, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm trying to figure my way in life, and this is just what it is. Some of you, maybe you bought into that mindset that says life is just hard, and I just got to kind of just struggle through it, and I'll figure it out, or maybe I won't figure it out, but such is life. And I got a statement for you tonight. I want to start off by simply saying to you this. That God wants you to live free. And God wants you, listen closely, to travel light. God wants you to live free. And God wants you to travel light. So, you ever taken a trip? Anybody ever gone on a trip? Gone on a trip recently? And overpacked? Now, some of you are acting like that's not you. You don't overpack. How many of you are overpackers? How many of you are underpackers? I see some husbands here getting themselves in trouble. Pointing at their wives, right? How many of you ladies take a bag just for your makeup? Holy moly. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, take a bag just for your shoes? I take a bag just for my shoes. I pay extra for it, right? Listen, ladies, any of you carry an extra large purse, bag? Yeah? Where's your bag at? Show me your bags. Let's see who's got the biggest bag here. Who's got? Okay. Let's see if, is there one that's bigger than this? Can somebody top this one? Okay, there's a bigger bag. Anybody else got a big bag? Yeah. Okay, yours is upstairs. See, Pastor Ned's thing? No, we're talking about purses, guys. I hear you, man. Hey, listen. Life with God can kind of be that way, too. If we're not careful, we can overpack for the journey. I want you to just open your ears. Listen, I'm not here to give you to ooh and ah you. I'm not here to try and convince you of anything. My job is not to recruit you. My job is simply to give you God's word. All right. And I just want to just serve you notice. For those of you that have been here for a while, maybe this is your first time. We're excited that you're here. But our first Wednesday services are going to be changing a little bit going forward. I really want to just dig in and do some teaching. And yes, we will end with communion. We'll be doing that. But I want to just teach you some basic things, but they're life-changing. They're practical. They're directly from the heart of God. And look, we're all on a journey in life. And I want you to know that there is a dream destination for you. Listen, God did not create you. You ever seen that little cartoon character or caricature or what is it, a comic where it says God don't make junk, right? God did not create you to live a hurtful life, to struggle in life. That is not God's will. God is not a child abuser. No parent would do that to their child in their right mind. No parent with a loving heart would subject their children to harsh circumstances, to cruel situations, to tragedy. That's not God's heart. God is not the author of our hurts and our pains. God is not he's not the author of our challenges and our hangups. God is the author of our finisher. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that wrote our lives in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's the one who says that he's predestined you and I unto good works. God has nothing but good plans for your life. God only knows one plan for your life, and it's a good one. We might deviate from it. We might not know it and therefore live independent of it, but God is good, and God has nothing but good for you. Come on, you can give it up for God on that. You can celebrate God on that. But the truth is this, that You don't need as much for the journey in life as you and I think. Let me tell you about what I'm talking about here. At a time when life had the potential to become heavy with grief, anxiety, and worry, in his final moments before being led like a sheep to the slaughter, Jesus Christ himself, knowing what was coming ahead, he took a moment with his disciples to share some simple truth with them. Something that was so powerful that it would carry them for the rest of their lives if they would simply focus on it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, we read the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminding the church of Corinth and reminding us of these simple words. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." Here's what Paul's saying. Listen, I didn't get this from a preacher. I didn't get this from a church. He says, I got this directly from Jesus Christ. And he says, and this is what the Lord Jesus told me to pass on to you. He says, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. In the original Greek language, here's how that reads. Here's my body, which is broken for you. And so what he's reminding them is this. In this bread that I'm breaking, I want you to remember that this brokenness of my body symbolizes something. And he says, he broke it and eat it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Don't do this in remembrance of the fact that I'm going to hang on a cross. Don't do this in remembrance of the fact that I'm going to be leaving, you know, but do this in remembrance of the fact that I was broken. And in my brokenness, when I rose whole and complete. And it now has significance and purpose for your life. Jesus is not calling their remembrance and our remembrance to his death. Jesus is calling our remembrance and their remembrance to the finished work and the benefit of his life. And his life and what he did for you and I holds great benefit even until this day. And so we would be wise to remember. In verse 25, Paul goes on to say, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. In other words, hey, set aside the old way of thinking. Set aside the old way of relating to God. The way you've been taught, what religion has told you, based upon what you do for God. None of that is in effect now. He's saying there's a new covenant. There's a new contract. There's a new way. There's a better way. And he says, and it's sealed in his blood. And then Jesus said, do this, and whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. See, no matter what life throws our way, we should remember the life of Christ. We should remember what he accomplished because it reminds us of the new life that is ours. And so I told you that I was taking you on a journey. Taking you on a journey. And I'm curious, how many of you are wondering what's in the bag? Anybody wondering what's in the bags? I got some teens that are wondering what's in the bag. All right. What's in the bag? What do you got going on there? Where are we going? And while you're wondering that, I'm glad you're centering your thoughts upon that. Because I want you to consider this question. What's in your bag? What are you taking along with you for the journey of life? What are you carrying? And ladies, if I could just pick on you for a moment, how heavy is it getting? Gentlemen, how heavy is it getting? You know what I'm talking about, ladies, right? You get those big bags and you start off with just putting your little pocketbook and some makeup. And before you know it, you got a book in there. And then after that, you got some pens and you got your phone and then you got your iPad, right? And then you got another book and then you've got, I don't know, whatever else it is that you put in your bags. I've always wondered, why does my wife have such big bags? And it just behooves me. I'm like, what is she carrying in there? Everything. And then every now and then she'll say, honey, can you help me? And I'll grab her bag and I'll go, Jesus, what are you carrying here? Where are you moving to? But I want you to consider this question, what's in the bag? And I want to suggest to you some answers to that question. And listen, if the shoe fits, don't wear it. Change it. Recognize that you're carrying more than you need to. For some, their baggage has become a part of their identity. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm poor. I'm hurt. I'm sad. I'm shy. I'm busy. I'm successful. I'm a man. I'm this. I'm that. I'm fine on my own. I can't. I'll never. And we wear it and carry it like an identity. You ever take a moment to ask somebody, who are you? You ever ask somebody that, who are you? And they may start off with their name. They may say, my name is Steve. My name is Jose. My name is Melissa. My name is Jeff. My name is Miguel. My name is Bill. My name is Charisse. Start off with the name, right? Okay, that's your name. No. Who are you? I'm a carpenter. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. I'm a businessman. I'm a man. I'm a woman. No, that's your gender. No, that's what you do. And if you continue to ask that question, what you'll see is that we begin to talk about everything that we're carrying in life. Everything that we're doing in life. And if you get deep enough and real enough, you'll start to hear everything that I'm struggling with in life. So for some, their baggage has become a part of their identity. Ladies, if I could just pick on you, you go somewhere, you go everywhere with your bag. My wife sometimes forgets her bag. She goes, turn the car around. I left my bag. You'll be up, turn the car around. And I always get the last word, yes, ma'am. Yes, honey. Yes. Comes an identity. Others can't imagine life without their baggage. They say things like, my past makes me stronger. I've learned to be who I am from my mistakes. I can never forget what they did to me. I'm a self-made man. I can do it for myself. It's just life. Can't imagine life without your baggage. It's just a part of life. You've just accepted it. Let me ask you a question. Those things that you've accepted that you're not comfortable with, but you've just grown to accept, how's that working for you? How's it working for you? Think about that. How's it working for you? Really? Don't shout yourself out. Ladies, don't nudge your husband. Gentlemen, don't look across the room and go, he's talking to you. Right? And please, certainly don't do this. Man, I wish I would have brought my friend because they needed this. No, you need it. But you could definitely share the podcast because we're going to post it. So others can't imagine life without their baggage. And then many believe that they have all they need, but in reality are carrying extra weight. They don't even realize they have it. They don't even realize the weight of it. These are attitudes, habits, strong beliefs, relationships that we pick up along the way in life to such an extent that they seem necessary. But they have a way of always sinking us. Who's got the biggest bag? Come on over here with your bag. Come on over here with your bag. Come. Somebody, quick. Come here, Colleen. Come with your bag. You got your bag, right? All right, I need one of you. All right, who's got the bigger bag? You got the bigger bag. All right, you got the bigger bag. So you got this big bag, right? And it kind of starts off like this. When you're young, you drop the ball. And it's kind of like, oh, you're just so stupid. You're just a dummy. You're just about as smart as a box of rocks. Right? It's not that heavy, right? It's 3 pounds after all. It's just a name. It's no big deal. It's just stupid, you know? So I call people stupid all the time, right? But then you kind of find yourself now growing up and you're around other people and somebody, you know, people begin to kind of point some things out about you or you begin to feel a certain way about yourself. And now it's no more just the word stupid. Now you begin to believe that you just aren't worth it. Put that on your shoulder for a moment. You're going to need to. Right? No big deal. I can handle it. Come on, be a man. Toughen up. It's just words. Sticks and stones, they'll break your bones, but words, they'll never hurt you. Stop crying. Go back. Go defend yourself. As you go through life, you begin to experience some ups and then some lows, and those lows make life just a little bit heavier. Now, up until this point, you're doing all right. I can handle it. But as life goes on, we all encounter different aspects of life. Right? We experience some disappointments. Right? We have really good intentions. We have really good plans for life. And we even begin to take steps in that direction. We go to school. We surround ourselves with people. We build relationships. And some of those things fail. And we just kind of just go with the flow. And maybe you hear about God and you know, man, you know, that sounds good and that sounds great. And you're looking for life changing. You're looking to experience something new and something different. And man, I really believe, but then something goes wrong. Tragedy strikes. A letdown happens. A pastor hurts you. The word of God doesn't make sense. And life just gets a little bit heavier. Then maybe you're at the point where you're a parent, you know, and your kids are kind of just, you're trying to lead them one way and they're going another way. You're making decisions, what you think are the right decisions, and they're turning out to be the wrong ones. You find yourself in whatever predicaments of life, and life just gets heavy. Now, I want to illustrate something to you about us as human beings. Just by our own human nature, you know what we try to do every time? Adapt. Here's what we try to do. We try to hold as much as we can for as long as we can. And you know what's interesting about it? We refuse to let go. We accept it. This is life. After all, he is my pastor, and he did tell me to come up here and allow him to put these weights. I never told you that. I told you come here with a bag. But you chose to hold that weight. Ladies and gentlemen, we choose to hold on to the weights of life. I need your bag for a moment. Just let that go. You got anything that's going to break in there? No? Okay, good. Listen, tonight I'd like to talk to you about your baggage claim. And specifically, I'd like to just make this statement to you that it's not yours to carry. It's not yours to carry. It's not yours to carry. Listen closely, ladies and gentlemen. It is not yours to carry. The weights, the worries, the anxieties, the hang-ups, the failures, the frustrations, the hang-ups, whatever it is, God did not call you to bring those things on a journey with you. Your life was never meant to be defined by the things that slow you down, weigh you down, and keep you out of the journey of life with God. Let me show you that from Scripture. Let me show you what God says about baggage. In Luke 4:18, it says, this is Jesus speaking, quoting a prophecy about himself. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. See, Jesus came for one purpose. Listen, he came for one purpose, to give us a message. And according to the words that we read here, this message was one that announced freedom. Freedom. Freedom from oppression. freedom from poverty, freedom from all those things that blind us, all those things that keep us enslaved, trapped. A message that announces freedom to us from that which blinds us, binds us, and threatens to keep us down. In Galatians 5:1, it says this. It says, it is for freedom, watch this, that Christ has set you free. But here's what we do. Oh, Jesus, just help me, Lord. Just help me make it through life, Lord. Please, Lord. I can't bear this much longer. Lord, when are you going to come through? God, when are you going to change my life? God, when are you going to heal my heart? And if we would just set our minds and hearts upon the truth and see that it is for freedom that Christ has already set us free, we would realize that it was never yours to carry in the first place. And so he goes on to say this. He says, stand firm then. Did you get that? Because he set you free. Stand firm then. That's the result. Stand firm. Live established. Live set upon the freedom that I've given you. He says, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't pick it back up. Don't accept it. Don't believe the lie any longer. Let it go. It's not yours to carry. And if you pick it up, just realize what you are yoking yourself with. Just realize what you're yoking yourself to, what you're joining yourself to, what you're agreeing with. Slavery. Bondage to self-defeating thoughts. Bondage to lies that contradict the truth that God's word reveals to you, that contradict his promises to you. We've been elevated with Christ for life. Don't settle back into that which once kept you grounded. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, we read, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Watch this. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. Check this out. Maybe you've heard me share this at some point, especially if you've been here for a while, but I'll share it with you again. It reminds me of an analogy I once heard of this ape that was kept in this zoo. While he's in this zoo, he would just kind of pace two steps forward and two steps back in this cage. Two steps forward and two steps back. Then one day, one of the zoologists is walking by and he sees this ape and he says, poor animal. Why is he being mistreated that way? Why is he being kept in that cage? We should do something about this. And so he gathers all the zoologists and he makes his plea before them and he says, let's do something for this ape. Let's do something for this gorilla. Let's give him a natural habitat. One goes, wait. If we just open up the cage, he'll walk out. So they open up the cage and watch the gorilla, and he takes two steps forward and two steps back. Two steps forward and two steps back. And the zoologist goes and he says, you see, I told you, we got to do something more. And another guy goes, oh, I know. We'll get some trees. And we'll get some birds and some parrots and we'll get some little monkeys and we'll get some fish and we'll create a little pond and we'll put some rocks and we'll create what looks to be a jungle. He'll feel in his element. He'll certainly come out now. And so they do that. The next morning, the gorilla wakes up and he takes two steps forward and two steps back. Two steps forward and two steps back. And then finally they say, let's get rid of the cage altogether. Certainly, he'll explore the habitat around him. He'll enjoy the freedoms that we've made available to him. He'll discover what it really means to be what he was created for. And they take the cage away and they watch him the next morning. And as he arises, he takes 2 steps forward and 2 steps back. 2 steps forward and 2 steps back. You know why? Because you can take the cage from the gorilla, but you can't take the cage out of the gorilla. He carried that with him. And the reason why I share that with you is because if we're not careful, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The door is wide open to you. We've been on a series for the last 2.5 months here at Church at the Bridge on Sundays, learning about the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you, be here on Sunday. Bring somebody with you. It's going to be a good one. To set you free. What we've been learning over the last 2.5 months is that God has given us the keys to the kingdom. And those keys open doors for us. But you see, once the door is open, it's up to you to walk into where God is leading you. And it's also up to you and I to walk away from and leave the things that kept us entrapped. God has not closed a door to you. And I guarantee you this, ladies and gentlemen, I applaud you for being here tonight. And this is not a gimmick. For those of you that know me, or if you don't know me, ask about me. I am not that pastor looking to recruit people. I'm not here running gimmicks to try and make you be here. I'm telling you straight up. I'm telling you straight up. You need to be here. You're here today, tonight, this night, is not an accident for you. For some of you, the wheels are turning. You're beginning to see, my God, I've been living a lie. For some of you, you've been saying, my God, I realize that while having everything, I've lived like I don't. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says these words. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Anthony, come back up here for a moment if you don't mind. I want you to pick up that nice little bag that you so eloquently got used to very quickly. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. Because here's what we've been taught and here's what we're told in religion. Bring all your junk. Bring all your hurts. Bring all your hang-ups. Bring all your past. Bring all the things that weigh you down and bring them to God. We take these words of Jesus and that's what we interpret. But watch what Jesus says. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And watch what he says. And I will give you rest. Watch what he doesn't say. Come to me with your weights and give them to me. And I'll carry them for you. That's not what he says. I'm going to illustrate to you. I'm going to show you straight from scripture what he says. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hey, you hold on to that long enough. How's that going to work for you? It's not. As a matter of fact, it'll tire you out. Now, this guy's pretty strong. He's holding about 45, 50 pounds in plates there. That's not a lot of weight. But I'll tell you this, after a while you hold that long enough, not only does it become heavy, it becomes burdensome. It wears you out. It wears you down. It makes you weary. How many of us don't know someone, maybe you're there yourself, where you're living weary? Worried, stressed, overwhelmed. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Watch this. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. And watch what we do. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, you who are carrying all this weight upon your heart, who are overwhelmed. He says, and take my yoke upon you. But to take it, you got to let that stuff go. You know why? Because it's not yours to carry. It's not yours to carry. Let me tell you how I would like to travel. Let me tell you how I would like to travel. I would like to walk out of my home with somebody carrying my bags for me. Driving me to the airport. And when I get out of the airport, taking my bags for me. Placing them on the plane for me. And then when I get off the plane, carrying them for me. Let me tell you why I say that. Because, man, it's a whole lot easier to travel that way. Jesus says, let go of all that. And all you need is what I'm giving you. You know what that's called? Rest. Rest for your souls. Thank you. Rest for your souls. He says, take my yoke upon you and watch this. When you choose to join yourself to Jesus, to God, watch what happens. He says, learn from me. For I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. I've got no hidden agendas. I'm not looking to recruit you to lay some heavy burden upon you. I'm not looking to take advantage of you. He says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That word souls there is speaking of your mind. He says, you'll finally be at peace. He says, for my yoke is easy. My burden, it's light. It's complete trust in him. And so as I'm wrapping up here tonight, I want to leave you with a few scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we read, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. So these are people that have walked this walk. These are people that have succeeded in this regard. These are people that understand what it is to trust in God. It says, because we have this crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Watch this, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance. In other words, let us run for the long haul, the race that God has set before us. We do this, watch this, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects. That simply means to complete. Who perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the same place of honor besides God's throne. Hey, can I just share a thought with you? That we have many examples of people that look to God in complete faith. Guys like Abraham. Guys like Moses, who while they dropped the ball, they still walked in faith. They got back up. Listen, don't judge a man or woman of God. Don't judge someone based upon their failures. Because the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. He gets back up. There are even people that God has surrounded you with. Listen, there's mothers that have been praying for you. There's grandmothers. There's a grandfather. There's an uncle. There's a man. There's a woman. There's a person. There's someone who's been encouraging you. Someone that maybe has never said a word to you, but you've been seeing their example. And what we're seeing here is that we have great examples of people that have looked to God in complete faith. But what exactly was it that they were looking at? They weren't looking at their manner of dress. They weren't looking at their manner of speech. They weren't looking at how religious they acted or how good they behaved. No, these people were simply looking at one thing, Jesus. They were looking to Jesus. You know why? Because as we see here, it tells us that he is the one that initiates. He's the author. And he's the one that finishes, that completes our faith. You know what the Bible's telling us? He's been there. He's done that. He wrote the rules how to do it. And so just look to him. Just trust in him. Just follow after him. Because if you do, guess what you'll be always, you'll always be able to do. You'll always endure. You'll always persevere. You'll always make it. You will discover what it means that you really are the head and not the tail. You'll discover that you are a champion of the faith, that you are an example in the kingdom, that you are a child of God, that you have been called to walk in a trail of triumph as you follow Jesus Christ, that you were not destined to be a failure, that you were not destined to be less than God's best, that you are all that God says you are in Christ, and that you can do all things because He is your strength. But listen, to fulfill God's plan for our lives, it requires the ability to run in faith. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to qualify that with something. To fulfill God's plan for your life, to fulfill God's plan for my life, to fulfill God's plan for our lives requires having the ability to run in faith. And if you're going to run in faith, according to what we see here in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us very clearly that we're to strip off every weight that slows us down. And then it talks about the sin that entangles us. Now, I want to be very clear with you on something. You've been here long enough, you understand where we stand according to God's word on this. God's word does not declare that you are a sinner. That's before the cross. God's word declares that he became sin. He became what you and I were, that we would become the righteousness of God. That's what the word of God declares. You may not feel it. You may struggle to believe it. But God's word says you are my righteous one. I call you holy. You are accepted. You are above reproach. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed sin from you. I have washed you as white as snow, he declares. You are everything that I have made you to be in Christ. The Bible now says that you, because you are joined to Him, you are one spirit with Him. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from His love. The Bible says that you are sealed with the Spirit. You are born of incorruptible seed. Nothing can change what God has done in you, child of God. And if you don't know Jesus, I got great news for you today. It's available. It's free. It's free. But listen, so the reason why I say that is because if sin has been dealt with, and I'm going to show you that from Scripture in a second, if sin has been dealt with in Jesus Christ, then why is it still an issue? And I want you to see what Paul says here. Well, I'm sorry, what the writer of Hebrews says here. He says, strip off every weight that slows you down, and especially the sin that trips you up. The thing about it is this. We can't go to places that we don't belong. Because the moment you do, you get entangled and you trip up. Yeah. Let me just put it to you this way. Don't pick up dead things. Now watch what I'm talking about here. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 5 says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. What does it say? Once. In other words, it's beforehand. We're done with that. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. He says, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very own nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Yeah. Verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy. And He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. I want you to see something. That when Jesus rose again, it was an open declaration. I have dealt with sin. I have removed the stain of sin. Sin is no longer the issue between God and men. But I will tell you when it does become an issue. On two occasions. One, we have no idea of the free gift that God has given us in Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. We don't understand the payment he's made. We don't understand that it's no longer our penalty to carry sin and death. That it's no longer meant for us to carry that weight. The other time when sin becomes an issue is when you've been forgiven, and yet you go and you pick up something that's no longer yours to carry in the first place. Listen, God has forgiven sin. But understand something. If we pick it up, we bear the consequences of carrying it. God didn't do it. That makes sense? God didn't do that. And so you try running a race and stopping every now and then and picking up some dead weight. And try to run that race. And you might endure for a while, but let me tell you something. Dead weight is heavy weight. Dead weight is hard to carry. Dead weight is tiring. It's overwhelming. It sucks the joy out of the journey. God wants you and I to live free. Free. And he's proven it because of what he's done in Jesus. And so, don't pick up dead things. Don't go there. In Psalm 116, 1 through 7, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes over around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death and he saved me. He says, let my soul, let this mind of mine be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. David says that when he was overwhelmed by trouble and sorrow, he did this one thing. When he was burdened and weighed down, when he found himself in circumstances that were inconsistent with what God told him he would do, David says, it was in those moments when I was wrapped up that I called out to the Lord. I want to encourage you to call on the Lord. To do the same. Because in the words of David, we know this to be true. That God hears your voice. The scriptures declare that we can come boldly before his throne. And watch what it says. Where we find mercy and grace. God's not watching you as you approach him, calling out to him in help, calling out to him in those moments when you're overwhelmed. He's not looking at you. He's not approaching you with an open hand to harm you, to hurt you. No, he opens his arms and he says, you belong right here. You're a child of God. As a matter of fact, you think you're just getting here. What you didn't know is that you've always been here because you're now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're right here with me. You've always been with me. All that's mine is yours. And lastly, in Mark 10, 28, 31. Peter and the disciples are with Jesus. And Jesus is talking to people. He's talking to them about the cost of following him. And he's saying, you got to let it all go. And Mark 10, 28, Peter says that Peter spoke up. He says, we've left everything to follow you. Jesus responds, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. That many who are first will be last, and the last first. Let me tell you something tonight as we're closing up here. God never replaces the baggage that we let go of with something less. Never. It's always better. It's always lighter. It always empowers you to go further, to go farther, to run longer, to endure through all that life may throw your way, because you've been called to live free. Tell you something, the baggage that you claim is not yours to carry. So let it go.